As we were talking, this beautiful text has very short chapters. There are 38 chapters altogether in this book. We are only on 6. We have just begun. And each chapter is very short, only about 2 pages. Well, Pujya Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda gives us the essence of the message, which for us to read, and then I try to add some extra points. So today's topic is the harmony of existence. And for any experience to take place, we need 3. Experiencer, experienced, and experiencing. Say I'm eating an apple, then I am the experiencer of this apple. And when I put the apple in my mouth, then the experiencing happens. Like she's driving a car. So she the subject, car is the object, and driving is the contact or the experience. The car can be separate, she can be separate. But when she sits in the car, then only the contact happens, and then only the driving happens. So in any experience, anything, whether you're eating, drinking, walking, talking, reading, these 3 are required. And Swamiji in his commentary says that just as a building depends on each brick, say if a brick in the bottom is taken out, then that wall becomes weak and over time it could collapse. And when the wall collapses, the whole building collapses. So building is made of bricks. Similarly, our life is made of experiences. Like right now, we are experiencing this class, you know, and then afterwards we will be experiencing the silence of meditation. And as my experiences, so is my life. If our life so far has been happy, then we have had mostly happy experiences. If my life is unhappy, that means I have had unhappy experiences, or it is mixed. Everybody's life is mixed. Some happy, some unhappy. And the goal of life is to make ourselves happy. So how do we do that? By making each experience a happy experience. So how is it possible? Can every experience be a happy experience? Yes, we can talk. We'll talk about that in the rest of the class. So most important thing is the contact. Say like my grandmother passes away, for example. And she's in some village in India, and I get an email or I get a message. Now, she has already passed, and I am here, but I have not yet heard about it. Unless I turn on my computer and check the email, or turn on my phone and find that message, okay, your grandmother has passed. Until then, that knowledge is not going to have any impact on me. She has passed and I am sad, but at this moment I may be happy, I may be at a party, I may be enjoying with friends, but I have not had that contact. So the contact between the subject and the object is very essential. Without contact, you know, there's so many things happening in the world. If I don't hear about them, they don't affect me. But say if it's happening to a near or dear one, somebody gets hurt or somebody gets in an accident. There are thousands of accidents happening all over the world. But suddenly my nephew or my brother or my friend gets in an accident and I hear about it. That's when that accident has an impact on me. If so many people are happening. So why does that accident have an impact? Because it is somebody with whom I have close contact. Somebody in Bakersfield had an accident. Okay, but I don't know that person. You read the paper. Okay, so you close and turn to the next page. So only when I have closeness with that object, then the object affects me. It's it my brother or my family member, or it happens to me, you know, I get in an accident, then it affects me because this body, I identify as myself. It is happening to me. And as we said, there are 4 aspects which all of us know. So there is the physical aspect, which is the body. And with my body, I perceive the objects. I see everything. I hear, smell, taste, touch. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. So using the body, mind, and intellect, I become a perceiver, feeler, and thinker of the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. So this is me, this is the universe, and this is my connection. The perceiver, feeler, thinker is the contact between this body, mind, and intellect and the world of experiences. The perceiver, feeler, thinker is also called the ego, the little I, that is, thinks myself to be limited. And it is very important that all four remain in harmony. If there is a disharmony, where one says it's okay, one says it's not, then my world is not happy. So say now somebody is shouting at me and very angry. So my eyes, ears are hearing the loud sound and screaming. And they are registering in my brain and I want to close my ears because, oh, this is too loud. This person is shouting. And my body gets affected. You know, my whole insides get affected. Why is this happening? And my mind gets upset. You know, why is this person shouting at me? That's not good. And I want to react. And I want to shout back. He's angry and I want to get angry back. So the mind reacts. But the intellect says, wait a minute. Don't shout back. That person shouting is your boss. And if you shout back at him, you'll be out the door. You lose your job. Maybe he's shouting correctly. Maybe it's something we didn't do right. Or maybe he has misunderstood the situation. And it was not my fault. It was the other Jennifer's fault, other worker's fault. But the intellect says, you know, don't shout back. Don't react. If you do, you'll lose your job. Calmly be quiet and listen. And when his anger subsides, then we can tell him quietly that, you know, sir, you know, you shouted at me, but in fact, this has happened. Or you shouted at me, yes, I made a mistake. Next time I won't do it. So the mind wants to shout back. The body is upset, but the intellect says, wait a minute. Now, suppose the mind and body listen to the intellect and say, okay, you know, we won't shout. We'll wait till things become quiet and he's calmed down and maybe tomorrow we'll talk to him. Then it's okay, but the mind says, I don't care, you know, what you are saying. I am mad. And the mind goes ahead and shouts back and tells the boss, go to hell and all. So what will happen? The things won't be good. See, because your intellect is telling you what is right, but if you don't listen or don't follow it, then the situation could become bad. So the point is that what my intellect is thinking, my mind should do the same. And my body should do the same. I think in the book, Swamiji has given an example of somebody giving you sweets insultingly. And so the same similar example. So these are the three aspects, the body, the mind, and the intellect. And the fourth is Om, or consciousness. Consciousness is the life principle within us which illumines and makes us walk, talk, hear, speak, you know, whatever we do, it is because of life, because of consciousness. Or you can call it God's presence within us. And what we believe, there is only one consciousness, only one God, which you can call by different names, Father in Heaven, Allah, Bhagwan, or Shiva, or Krishna. Names may be different, forms may be different, but in reality, it is one formless substratum which has no particular form, no particular shape, and supports everything. So I'm speaking, I am listening, I am in thinking, feeling because of the presence of consciousness. And this consciousness is the subject of, is the knower. So, like, who knows my body has changed? You know, my body at one time I was 5 years old or 10 years old, how I was when I was growing up, whichever country I was in, and now where am I and where will I be? then my emotions are constantly changing, sometimes happy, sometimes unhappy. My ideas and thoughts are changing, like when a person is young in college, he's very liberal. He goes to Berkeley, he says, you know, everything should be liberal, everything should be free. Healthcare should be free and this should be. And then when he starts earning and then 40% of his money goes in taxes, then all of a sudden he becomes very conservative. You know, why am I paying all these taxes? Who is benefit? So that same individual who was so idealistic, but when it comes in the real world, so the body is changing, the mind is changing, the intellect is changing. Who knows that? It is not the ego, because even the ego has changed. What my thoughts were as a child are very different. And this ego is something that was happy at one time, then becomes unhappy. Then when situations are conducive, it is celebrating, and when they are not. So the ego, this limited I is also changing. The one that knows from childhood to now is that consciousness, is God's presence, which we here call as Om. And that is constant, that is unchanging, that has always, that's why they say God was there, the universe was created, and when the universe ends, and all the planets and the stars and everything end, then God alone will remain. And that is, God is that consciousness. Now let us talk a little bit about the nature of consciousness. As we said, it is the subject. It is the knower of what is happening in my body, my mind, my intellect. The reason I know my thoughts is because of consciousness. But it is separate from all. So when this body is getting old, the consciousness, God does not get old. And the mind is upset, the body, the consciousness does not get upset. When my intellect is confused and changing, the consciousness is not changing. It is separate from all. And where do desires arise? Desires arise in the body, in the mind. And talking about desires, I have a short story and then we can move on to the nature of consciousness. So there was this lady who died in a fire. I told this story on Sunday, but I think only Tony was there. So in the fire, a lot of people in her building perished, you know, 10, 15, 20 people died. And so she went to God, and God looked at his computer and said, oh gosh, you know, you came by mistake. You're supposed to live another 10 years. There was some error, computer glitch. You are not supposed to die. You can go back. All these others, yes, they are supposed to die. And see, she goes back into that body, and before people realize, she starts walking. So they thought, oh, she was unconscious in the fire. So they don't know that she's dead. And so she's very happy. Oh, I got another 10 years to live. I thought I was dead. So she says, what am I going to do for 10 years? Now, instead of pursuing God, she said, let me have fun for 10 years. So she went to the plastic surgeon and head to toe, every part of her body, her face, this, that, everything fixed, everything changed, beautiful body, beautiful figure, nose, new face, new everything. Then, you know, she became very slim and all that, you know, all from plastic surgery. Then she goes, has her hair colored, you know, she becomes blonde, you know, has her hair dyed. And then she has all makeup done and eyelashes and eyebrows and, you know, all those things that women do and everything. And she comes out of the beauty parlor looking beautiful, gorgeous, you know, all 6 months of effort. And she comes out and a drunk driver comes and hits her and she dies. She's very angry. She goes back to God and she's mad. She says, I'm angry with you. You told me 10 years and why did you bring me back in 6 months? God looks at her, says, oh, it's my fault. I didn't recognize you. I didn't recognize you. You changed so. So that's how our life is. We don't know when the clock will strike, you know, when it is time for us to go up. And we are just so busy pursuing desires, wanting, acquiring, getting, doing, spending time in our body, in our physical needs. It says more time you should spend in your spiritual needs. Get closer to God. Know who God is and know that is my own nature, my higher nature. God is not separate from me. God is not sitting somewhere above the clouds in heaven, and someday after death I will reach him. God is in me as life, as consciousness, is my nature. And what is the nature of this God or Brahman or consciousness? So they say there are three aspects to this God or Brahman, what we call as Brahman, the consciousness in Sanskrit. It is existence, consciousness and bliss. Sat, Chit, Anand. Those are the Sanskrit words. Sat means existence, means always is. Like the mud. Now the mud is made into a jar or made into a cup or a bowl. Now does anything happen to the mud? No, mud remains the same. It just gets modified into a jar or a bowl and you paint it and you color it and all. But the mud remains the same. On top you put all these things. Okay, I make it a blue jar and I put some paint and some flowers. And suppose the jar falls and breaks, or the cup breaks, what happens? It goes back to mud. So mud was always there. Mud temporarily took the form of a cup or a bowl, and when it broke, it went back to mud. So this consciousness is our own nature, is also the nature of this table and this recorder and this mic and me. We are all existing. We all, this chair, fan, everything exists. So that which is the existence, and even when we perish, the consciousness within us will not perish. So that is ever existent, eternal. So that is called Sat. And now this consciousness, is it inert or does it know? You say it's not inert, it knows. Because of this presence of consciousness, I know. If consciousness tomorrow is not functioning through me, I'll be lying on the floor and you'll have to take me to the nearest cemetery. So the intellect does not know, like Einstein. Suppose Einstein, the consciousness has left him. Einstein is dead. Now that dead body of Einstein, you ask him, what is 2 plus 2? He won't be able to answer, even though he's the greatest physicist ever. Why? Because consciousness is not there. So consciousness knows. And also even the plants also know. Like they know to go towards sun, and they say that if you play music to a plant, it grows better than if you shout at a plant and treat it roughly. So even plants have some knowledge. Of course, animals, birds, plants react. Fish, you know, they react to situations. Fish, if it sees something dangerous, it will run away, or if it sees some food, it will catch it, even though it gets caught in the hook. So consciousness is in all of us. Third is bliss or joy or ananda. Now we say bliss is not always there with me. You know, sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm unhappy. Oh, when I wanted an ice cream, I get an ice cream. I am so happy. And somebody tells me, you can't have ice cream because you have diabetes. Then I become unhappy. So how is my nature happiness? So they say that our nature is bliss or happiness. We think it's because of the object. Like, I want ice cream, I want ice cream, I want ice cream, I want ice cream. My mind keeps on asking, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. And then the ice cream is given and I put it in my mouth. Temporarily, this agitation of the mind goes away. Ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. And then for a while, it becomes quiet. And then next day or next week, again, ice cream, ice cream. So I think the joy is in ice cream, but when my mind becomes peaceful, then I experience the bliss of consciousness within. The bliss is not felt because my mind is agitated. Because if the happiness was in ice cream, as we have talked about before, then the same ice cream should give the same happiness to all. No, somebody likes ice cream, another man is diabetic and says, you know what, ice cream I can't have because it will make my sugar go up. And if ice cream had happiness in it, then one ice cream will give you happiness. Two ice creams will give you twice the happiness. Five ice creams, will they give you happiness? No, they'll make you miserable. 10 ice creams will make you, should be 10 times happy. No, it will make you miserable. So happiness is my own nature. When I get something I wanted, I think that that object is making me happy. But all that object is doing is removing the agitation of my mind. The mind which was disturbed, agitated, wanting. And it could be, and could be money, could be a job, could be power, could be position. So ultimately, when the mind becomes peaceful, then you experience God's presence within. That's why in meditation, when we quieten the mind, then the mind which has become silent experiences the divinity within. And once a person has experienced this joy within and the mind becomes peaceful, then whether the situation is conducive or not, this person remains happy. And that's the difference between us and saints and prophets, because saints and prophets have become one with God within. And for them, the world may give them all the sorrows, may give them all the problems, but as long as they are connected with God, their mind is peaceful and they remain unaffected with whatever the world can throw at them, because they say, I am that divinity, I am Om. I am not this body, mind and intellect. You can hurt my body, you can insult me, you can shout at me, but I am unaffected. And so they are able to tolerate. It does not mean they become like stones or they don't care about what is happening in the world, but for themselves they become very strong because they have experienced God's presence. And such a person, nothing can shake him. That's what Lord says in the Gita, Bhagavad Gita, that no sorrows of the world can affect such an individual who has experienced God's presence within. The example is electricity and equipments. For example, electricity, is electricity illumining this room? No. Electricity is just providing the power. It is the bulb. When it comes in contact with electricity, it illumines. Like if we turn the fan on, the fan, which was still, now comes in contact with electricity and turns and gives air. This mic is talking because of electricity. But electricity is not talking. Electricity is just providing the energy. And in that, the mic is talking. And that's why the heater will heat and the cooler will cool. And the refrigerator will keep the objects cold. So that is the nature of refrigerator. Now, you tell a refrigerator to heat the object, it can't do that. You need a microwave for that. So the equipment may be different, but electricity is one. And depending on the nature of the equipment, the heater will heat, the cooler will cool, the microwave will warm the food, the fridge will cool the food. So electricity says, I don't do anything. In my presence, all these equipments are functioning. So similarly, the Lord or the consciousness says, I don't do anything. I provide the energy. And in my presence, this body is moving, thinking, and body is moving, perceiving, seeing all the objects. The mind is feeling the emotions. The intellect is thinking the thoughts. But the Lord or the consciousness is unaffected and is not doing anything. So we say, oh God, God does not do anything. I, with my own actions, create my own karmic destiny. And based on my actions, good and bad things happen to me. But we all the time blame God. Oh, why is God punishing me? Why is he doing this or that? God says, I don't do anything. I provide the energy. And it's up to you how you use the energy, like electricity. You can use it for a good cause. You know, you can use it to make a beautiful factory, you know, producing goods. Or you can use the electricity to make dynamite, to make bomb and destroy the world. Electricity is not at fault. Electricity says, I provide the energy. If you use the energy to make a bomb, or you use the energy to make a musical instrument and play beautiful music, you cannot blame the energy for that. You cannot blame electricity. Oh, electricity was, if you were not there, this bomb would not have been made. Electricity says, I neither made the bomb nor I made the piano. If you make good music with the power I gave you, that is your goodness. If you do make, create a bomb and create sorrow and murder people, then you will be affected correspondingly. You maybe go to jail or get arrested or get killed by the police. So similarly, the Lord or the consciousness within us is like that electricity. And depending on our equipment, we act. So a person acts according to his equipment, according to his thoughts, according to his emotions, according to his circumstances, the objects, emotions, and thoughts. They affect only the body, mind, intellect. They do not affect the consciousness. So for you and me, one has to constantly remember that I am that consciousness living in this body, and my name is Tony, or my name is Louis, or, and I'm a man or a male or female, young or old, short or tall. But actually, all of us are that one consciousness with different names, different forms, different expressions, different behaviors. But so one who understands this, A, becomes free from all sorrows, and B, develops love for all because they are all me. So that oneness can only come when we identify with the consciousness and do not identify with the... Otherwise, if we identify with the body, mind, and intellect, then he's my friend, he's my enemy, he belongs to my faith, he doesn't belong, he goes to my church, she goes to the church across the street. All those divisions come. You know, he's this race, this color, this... So all those come at the level of the body, but at the level of the consciousness, we are all one. So to understand that consciousness, one has to meditate. And in meditation, you experience that silence, that peace. And once you experience that, then you can spread it to others and become a messenger of peace. So that is the essence, and that is called harmony of existence. Well, all my equipment works in harmony with the divinity within me. And that is called a saint or a prophet.
There is my body, my mind that sends it, and then there's something else that before I send the command is telling me, okay, so do not do it, do not execute it. So somehow I believe, I don't know if I'm right in understanding this, that just like the ego is like somehow evolving in all of this, the will is operating under this range of body, mind, and intellect. And so sometimes it's hard to control the will.
Yes.
And I don't know the influence or the connection that the ego has in the in back and forth.
Okay, that's a good question. So the ego, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker, this limited I that thinks my name is this and I am this or that, is at the level of this limited human being, that I am this limited, ordinary human being who is suffering because of the fate. And the will comes from the intellect. The intellect and the mind are telling the body what to do, like to move the finger or not move the finger, or to eat the ice cream or not eat the ice cream, or to shout at this person or not to shout. They come from the intellect and the mind, this giving instructions to the body. So that is where the will is. The free will of the human being is in the intellect, the decision whether to shout or not shout, whether to eat or not eat. The consciousness itself does not do anything. The consciousness provides life. And God or consciousness has sent us prophets and has sent us the books, whether it's the Bible or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or the Guru Granth Sahib, and has sent all the prophets like Jesus and Guru Nanak and Muhammad and, you know, Krishna and all of those. So the Lord has appeared many times and given us various books, but the Lord himself or the consciousness itself does not do anything. The consciousness is not telling me to move the finger. It is my intellect or my mind is telling me to move the finger or not to move the finger. The consciousness is providing me the ability to move the finger. See, if consciousness was not working through me, I would be dead. I would not be able to think. And definitely a dead person cannot move his finger. So the consciousness plays through the mind and intellect, reflects in the, and that gives the ability to live. When the mind and intellect is no longer capable of supporting the body, that is called death. And this mind and intellect goes, and the subtle body goes and takes a new body, if you believe in rebirth. Or if you don't believe, then the mind and intellect, this individual, goes to heaven or hell, where it suffers or enjoys the consequences. but that consciousness is not making my finger move. Consciousness is giving me the ability to make my finger move.
So it's kind of life?
It is life. It is life.
You are alive. And that's
alive.
You can use all those resources.
Yes, yes. So consciousness reflects in the mind and intellect, just as there is a mirror outside and the room is dark. So there is a mirror, and then the sunlight shines on the mirror, and the mirror is such an angle that the light comes in. Previously the room was dark, and then as the sun rises, it reflects on that mirror, and the mirror reflects into the room, and suddenly the room gets lit up. Even if the sun is not there, sun is on this side, but there is a mirror here, that sun will reflect in the mirror and the light will come in the room. And you'll say, where did this light come from? The sun is in the back, but it is reflecting in the mirror, and the mirror is illumining the room. So this mind and intellect is the subtle body which is reflecting that consciousness. And because of that reflection of consciousness, this body is able to move. So mind and intellect is the reflecting medium which makes this body move. But the consciousness, which is everywhere, consciousness is everywhere. It is in the chair. But why is the chair not moving? Chair might say it's a boring lecture, but is not moving, getting up and going. Why? Because the chair does not have mind and intellect. It is you and me, we have the mind and intellect. In plants and animals, it is very limited, you know, the intellect, but you and I have it. So that life principle or consciousness is reflected in the mind and intellect and makes this person alive. Is that clear?
I have one question. Like when you're coming from like the Catholic tradition, we always were told that life is the opportunity to win your eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So you behave well, you will go to heaven. If you don't behave well, you will go
to hell. Right.
And there was a lot of reason, you know, how to live, you know, what direction to go. But in this view, when you die, what, and I know it's a difficult answer, you know, but how you reconcile? Because in that tradition, well, you know, you were good, you will go to heaven, you were bad, you know the punishment. So in a way, you have an answer.
Right.
Maybe you don't like it, but here, what is the final?
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same. You create your own destiny. And we say heaven and hell, there may be some world, but heaven and hell is right here.
Yeah.
If you are peaceful, if you're calm, if you're friendly, you have heaven.
But after life, we believe in heaven and hell. What happened with your mind?
It goes to heaven or hell, and then takes another birth. That's the difference between Vedanta and Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity believes in eternal heaven or eternal hell.
Mm-hmm.
What we believe that heaven and hell are temporary place where you go, and then you have to continue your journey, life after life, birth after birth, till you become one with God, till you realize God.
So maybe right now we are, in your tradition, following your argument, maybe right now we have died already and we are having a second opportunity?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, there are 8.4 million births. 8.4 million births before I become a human.
Mm.
I was first a protozoa, you know, a plant, and then I became a protozoa, then I became a fish, then I became a, you know, animal, and then I became a monkey, and then I became a human. So there are 8.4 million births we have gone through before we became human. So do not waste this opportunity, because you may not get it again. Next life, if you don't do good in this life, you may be born as a monkey or as a mosquito or as a buffalo.
So you
use this opportunity to become one with God.
Within the tradition of the evolution.
Yes, evolution, exactly.
This big discussion, some people do not accept evolution. But
yes.
You are with the idea of evolution.
Evolution, yes. But it's the same individual,
yes.
Mind and intellect, was gone through many births before we become human, and you will continue to have more births unless you become one with God.
Yeah.
Until you become one with God, you will be again born. Again you will suffer. Again you will have maybe a human. Maybe if you have done good deeds, you will become a better human. If you have done bad deeds, you may become a worse human. Or you may become a monkey or a dog in your next birth, depending on how your actions have been. But this cycle of birth and death only ends when you know that I am that divinity and become one with God. That's why these prophets and saints are not born again. They don't have to be.
Their message become
part of God. Right? They realize that I am part of God. Right now we don't. We are also part of God. We are not separate from God. We are also part of God, but we don't know it. And in meditation, you experience that.
And because we don't know, we don't act.
Act like that. We don't act like Jesus, or we don't act like Guru Nanak, or we don't act like Buddha. We act like ignorant beings.
I think with information, and they say information is key, right? And there's this cliche that say that the more you know, the knowledge is power, and so forth.
Right.
There was a point in my life where I was like so oblivious about things, lots of things, and you know, youth and adolescence, all these things. But I had this in the back of my head that was bothering me. Wait a minute, there must be something there. But I didn't know how to put it in words. But there was a feeling, a sentiment, a sensation. And so, but now that I'm aware, I feel more responsible to be
good.
more leaning towards. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, if that's the what they call here, the get off of the samsara wheel or whatnot, like leave these patterns of
right
devolution.
Right, right. True.